Hey mama, I want to invite you to something. I am hosting a free anger management bootcamp on the podcast May 6th through the 10th. Monday through Friday, there will be a new episode released teaching you where anger comes from and what goes on in your brain when you feel intense feelings, how to lower your stress and increase capacity levels as a mom, how to shift your mindset to align your actions with the mom that you want to be, and how to break generational anger patterns. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a day and sign up using the link in the show notes so you can get access to the episodes as soon as they drop and an email summary of the daily trainings, as well as access to a live Q&A call on the last day of the bootcamp. Invite one or three of your mama friends so they can learn how to manage their emotions well too. Link to sign up is in the show notes. I can't wait to see you in there. Let's get back into this podcast episode. Hey friend, if you are a mama who has a child with special needs, this episode is for you. If you feel alone, overwhelmed, and depressed about your child's diagnosis, this episode is a must listen. I invited Katie, and she is a special needs mom, a homeschooling mentor, a podcast host, and she hosts a membership dedicated to helping Christian moms who have special needs children to create a healthy and peaceful homeschool and family environment that leads to generational family success. In this episode, you're going to learn what it was like for Katie to accept her child's special needs diagnosis. How can you have a supportive mindset when you feel like a failure and you just want to fix your child? How to surround yourself with support and go through the grieving process, and how to accept the new normal and look for the good. So my friend, if this is something that you're struggling with, or you know someone who is struggling with this, please take a listen to this episode. Hi, Katie. Welcome to Emotionally Healthy Legacy Podcast. I am happy to have you here today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It is my pleasure to be here. I've been really looking forward to this.
Yes, likewise. Before we jump into the actual interview, I have a quick question for you. What is something you've been loving lately?
Oh my goodness, there's always so many things to love. Lately, I would say one thing I really love that's applicable to all moms, I think, is journaling. But I've been doing it in a very specific way because I don't have a lot of time with five kids, kids with special needs, homeschooling. I have very little time. And so I have to carve it out intentionally. I love to do doodle journaling. And so it doesn't take very much time. It's just a little Sharpie marker and some watercolor pencils and, you know, whatever is in my heart. And I have a couple little prompt questions for myself. And I just love to walk through how I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, what I feel like I'm praying over, and maybe what the Bible and scripture are telling me. And it's just very healing. So I think that process, just 5 or 10 minutes each day or whenever I need it, is something I'm really loving lately.
I like that. I don't think I've ever heard of doodle journaling. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yes, I have a friend who actually teaches it. If you ever want me to connect you with her, you would love her.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Because like I like to journal on a regular basis and just kind of get my emotions and feelings out. And I like, you know, prompt questions as well to answer. It just helps you kind of stay on task. And I love coloring books too. So
it can might really help.
There you go. There you go. Oh my gosh. You are here to talk about embracing a new normal and navigating life with special needs kids. So tell me a little bit about yourself, about your family, where you guys are from. And I would love for you to share a little bit about your podcast.
Yes, absolutely. So my husband and I both grew up in very typical families, kids who were high achievers, parents who were, you know, very typical, wonderful, loving parents. None of us really ever ran into anybody with special needs except for my mother-in-law, who happened to work in an institution blessing people with high needs. And then me at school here and there, when I would move around as a military kid, I really gravitated toward the kids on the playground who had Down syndrome and other needs, but mostly was just separated from them. Otherwise, my life was completely unaffected by the reality and realization of what any family was going through out there other than what mine was. Well, my husband and I got married. He was also in the military, and we were having this glorious time moving around, you know, and then we had our first child. And our journey immediately changed. He was born having had a stroke in utero. So our very first few hours of parenthood were very different than what we expected. And I can fast forward now 19 years and say he's doing marvelously. He's completely recovered. And God was very good in sparing him because we didn't know what his outcome would be. But we have other children in our lineup of five precious, precious blessings. We have other children who have had a lot of challenges. And so, you know, our family, everything that we thought about our family, that we expected from our family, has been very different. It's been a very different journey. So my husband and I, we love music, we love food, we love time with our kids. I'm very much a free spirit. He's very much more of an organized military kind of guy. And so we try to make those two polar opposites work well here the best we can. And I do have a podcast that is about reducing overwhelm for Christian homeschooling moms. And, you know, if you happen to have a special needs kiddo in the mix, I've got a lot in there for you too. It's called Her Home and Heart.
I love that. I love that. And thank you for sharing your journey. I know that I don't think any mom just envisions and signs up for willingly, especially with your first child. Oh, I'm going to have a child with special needs. It's just oftentimes just a shock and not something you expected. And so I want to talk about that. What was it like for you to emotionally grieve for what you wanted for your kid's future when you found out, especially like with your first? And then I'm not really sure about the journeys with the other kiddos with special needs as well. But what was it like for you to navigate all that emotionally? Because oftentimes we envision our kids running around and being able to do all these things and go to school and then go to college and get married. And then knowing that might not be the reality for some of your kids. How did you navigate that?
It was a long journey. I didn't really even have time to begin grieving with my first. We were stationed overseas when he was born. We were medevaced to a whole nother country. And then we were very quickly shipped back to the US to manage his medical care. So I have to say with him, and he was, you know, other than some seizures that lasted the first year, overall, he was meeting milestones. He was doing well. So I didn't have as much to grieve over other than a shocking event that was very surprising, that all the doctors said, oh, you know, this is so unlikely. You'll never face this again. And we did have to deal a little with, you know, the fear of what would happen in his future. But again, because he was meeting milestones and we were able to at that time just focus on him, it was easier to honestly surrender it to God at that time. There was a little bit less overwhelm. The funny thing is we need to surrender it to him even more efficiently when we have even more than one, now that we have five. So it did interfere with my bonding with my second child, interestingly. So that was an outcome that for me, I didn't expect. But when we were expecting our second child, we ended up finding out there was a little bit of a problem while she was in utero. And so we had to have a lot closer monitoring. And what I didn't expect was that I would struggle emotionally to feel the same way that I felt when I was pregnant with him. And I believe that was because of the trauma. And I think it was part of my grieving process. But having those ultrasounds, I needed to have extra ultrasounds with her. And the tech blessed me repeatedly with 3D ultrasounds, which was not something prescribed. She just did it as a gift. And that really brought my heart around. And it helped me through that process. We hit a whole new level of challenges with her and her medical condition. And I have to say, I was so busy. And my husband was deployed so much. Again, a lot of the emotion, there wasn't time to deal with it. So we moved forward. I just kind of dealt with it. I think I wasn't at max capacity. But if we fast forward to when my fourth child, he was born, we had also had our fifth. I had five kids, the last two are 16 months apart. We had no idea until there were some really significant events that happened with our little fourth child. We ended up getting a diagnosis on him that was devastating. And we had just moved into the house we live in now. And so I'll paint the picture for you. I was trying to unpack something I'm very good at as a military child and a military spouse. I am really good at packing and unpacking. So I was working very quickly to set up the house, get things hung up on the walls. And as I was opening the boxes with our family photos from pre-diagnosis, I have never experienced something like this up until that point in my life. Looking at the face of my son pre-diagnosis hit me like I was seeing someone who had died. It hit me in that moment that all the dreams, all the hopes, all the desires that I'd had for him, and all of the things that I had seen my other two, you know, I'd have three at that point, but two that had significant diagnoses as well. And that we were managing to walk through. We were managing to still see progress. We were managing to see development. So I still had threads of a lot stronger hope that they would be okay in the kind of sense that we think of as moms of being okay. They would live by themselves and be able to do self-care and have lives of, you know, filled with joy. And I'd already been able to finger paint with them for preschool and watch them ride a bike and those sort of things, you know? And we knew with this little one, that was not going to be the case. And it just hit me in a completely different area. And at that point, I began having to deal with all of the pent up grief from the others as well. I opened a photo album, saw a picture of my firstborn in the NICU. Oddly, he was a week old. He had this huge smile on his face, standing there with my husband. And in the background was a neurologist coming in to tell us he'd had a stroke. And I just sobbed. Like I just broke open and it just broke me down. And so I began having to learn more about grief. What is grief? I knew a little bit about it from friends who had lost spouses in, you know, like Iraq and that sort of thing, but I had not understood it applied to me. And I think we often think as moms, we're immune or we have to be strong or something. And so it set me on a journey to try to understand in a bigger way what was happening inside of my heart.
Wow. That's so much. All at once. I'm listening to this and my heart just goes out to you. I just want to give you a hug because that's so much to deal with, especially if like your husband was gone a lot in the beginning, right? Because he had to be for work and a lot of that was just on your shoulders. And you've mentioned multiple times, I didn't have time to grieve. Mm-hmm. I was just recently recording a lesson for my coaching program and I was talking and grieving there. And like the thing with grieving, you need space for it. You need space to feel sad, to cry, because you're going to hit a stage of anger as well, right? And then a stage of depression where it's like you have these cycles and you need the space for it. And like having a support system and people that can come in into your life and support you on this and just even communicating, hey, I need a little bit extra help during this season. That's so crucial, but you didn't have that. That wasn't even available. You had to power through and push through because you had to do what you had to do and you didn't have an option. And right. That just feels so hard. Mm-hmm. And somehow God sustained you through that. And he helped you through that season, even though it was super, super hard. Can you tell me, how did you come to accept the new reality of being mom with special needs kids? And I know that I've had multiple conversations with women who reached out to me and they were sharing that they have kids with special needs. And sometimes they just have a really hard time accepting that. And I know you have to go almost like through that grieving cycle to get to that acceptance. Mm-hmm. So how did you get there?
Well, I think, let me just say this, as a mom whose child is still living, sometimes I view it as a perpetual grieving cycle. And we have seasons where we've accepted and seasons where we almost start over again, because maybe there's a new challenge that's arisen. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a new realization of something ahead that we had hoped we could avoid. There are new family dynamics. As a child grows larger in their body, there are new things to grieve. Oh no, how do we deal with now an adult who doesn't have the ability to do self-care and no one thinks they're cute anymore? At least when they're cute, we can go to the park and talk to other moms and they don't think we're weird, or we can take them places and they're still small enough to manage. But what do you do when they're a teenager? Now they can't shave, but they need it. They're still in diapers and they're 18. There's a lot of moms who are in this phase and who I see ahead of me even. And it seems to me from my past experiences and the experience I see of other mothers that we almost need to learn to grieve well. I know that sounds strange, but because it's an element of our life on a permanent basis. And in my personal experience, seeing a couple of moms who have lost their kids, one who I'm close to, then the grief continues. It's mm-hmm. a different way. So mm-hmm. we have to learn to grieve well and allow the grieving, the understanding of grieving, allow us to bless others. And so for me, my process has been supported and best helped by connecting with others on this path. Also, of course, my faith. That's huge. That's tremendous, because I believe fully in my heart, this is not for nothing. And I believe in my heart that there is a glorious future ahead in eternity where we will not have these struggles and sorrows. But here, while we are here for our time here, I do have the hope and knowledge and belief solidly that there is a good purpose. And so I will steward this well because I trust the Lord. So then having other women and other families, like we connected with many families globally when we went to a neurodevelopmental institute that we attended for 3 years, and seeing them and being with them and connecting made us all realize that even though in the world as a whole, you can feel very much an alien because people don't understand you. They don't understand your child. They can't. They may want to, but they can't. And a lot of them don't want to. But when you're with other people who walk in your shoes, even if it's a different diagnosis, the effect on the family is very similar. There is such a relief. There's such a sense of belonging. And so we have stayed very close with quite a few of the families that we met there, even though they're from other countries. We had people from all of the continents that came to this one location in Philadelphia and we got to connect with. And suddenly we were just us again. You know, we weren't this family with a kid with challenges. They weren't, oh, that family with kids with challenges. It was, oh, you know, hi, you're a family. Oh, your kid has challenges. Oh, I'm so glad I know you. Let's talk. You know, let's understand each other. And it's funny because the feelings are all the same. The grief process is the same for everyone. We're just all at different stages at different times and there's no predictability, but being with others is tremendous.
Yeah. Support system is so crucial. I think anytime you go through something challenging in life, just having a support system and people that are going through something really similar who can understand some of what you're dealing with is like, I've been through hard seasons in my life. I've had a miscarriage and other struggles, and just surrounding myself with people and even like small groups of support women who are going through something similar to me was super, super helpful. And like, God used that to carry me through that season. Because like even in the Bible, there's that verse that talks about carrying each other's burdens. But like even just having like community, someone that you can cry together, because you both just get it. You get it how hard that struggle is. And you touched on something that there's a purpose for this. And so I grew up in a conservative Christian community. And some of the beliefs that were in that community when I was growing up was that God is punishing you for something. If you have a child with special needs, that means you messed up. And it's kind of a consequence for your choices. Maybe they're getting it from the story with David when he messed up and then his child passed away. What would you say to that mom that feels like she failed and that she feels so guilty? Yeah. For having a child or children with special needs, and she wishes she could fix it and she can't. Speak to her, please.
Well, first, I would say that it's basically a Hindu belief. That's not a Christian belief, even though some people would say it is. And I've been told by many well-meaning Christians that my son's seizures must be some sort of demonic activity. In fact, it is not. And I have deep faith. And I know that Jesus addressed this with his disciples very clearly. They asked him this exact question. Whose fault is it? Is it his fault, the disabled man? Is it his parents' fault? And Jesus said, it is not either of their fault. They have done nothing. This is to glorify the Lord. Now, how do we understand what it means to glorify the Lord? I think that's going to look different in every single family's life. You know, there is such a deep level of compassion that the siblings of these special needs children in all of the families, mine and the families of the, you know, that we have interacted with and become close with, the level of compassion towards the outside world is something you cannot teach a child. Some children are naturally compassionate. There is still an extra layer here of understanding and acceptance where these children can interact with someone who is completely disfigured or completely nonverbal or having all these tics and can only yell as communication, and they're totally fine. And they can interact and be loving and kind and thoughtful and not scared. There's so many other ways that this plays out where we end up in the really odd sense, but very blessed by the fact that we have these children in our lives. And so if you are feeling like a failure, first, it's okay to accept your feelings. That's part of grieving. It's just to say, you know what? I feel this way. It doesn't mean that I even necessarily have a basis for believing it, but I just feel it. But why? What is the thought behind that? And really dig into where are these thoughts and emotions stemming from? Is it from a trauma in our past? Is it from something someone said to us in the past? Like, really, I have to say that being a special needs mom has been an incredible personal development journey, one that I never expected, because it does dig up crazy stuff like that, where, you know, for some reason, I'll think that it is my job as mom to fix these kids' problems. Well, I am certainly no neurologist and I am not God, because no neurologist has yet been able to help my son with his life-threatening epilepsy. And we've been working on this for 9 years. So realizing that it's okay to feel all the feelings, it's really good to have somebody else who understands that you can talk with. You can say all those weird, like crazy, have you ever thought this? Have you ever felt that? And you know they're not going to reject you because they've had their own weird thoughts and feelings. This is the beauty of community, is to have that person that says, yeah, me too, but it looked like this or it looked like that. And then to pour into each other. But here's how you can work through this. Here's how you can walk through that. You know, here's what the Bible says about this thing that you are experiencing. There is so much healing in that. So for a mom who's feeling like a failure, please know that is not truth. That is a lie that's being spoken to you from our enemy. It's okay. You've had the thought and the feeling. There's no condemnation. Just start looking at why, where is it from, and see who you can connect with that can help support you to walk through it. Whether it's a friend who understands or a professional. I have spent many, many, many years in and out of various counselor offices as we've moved around the military just to deal with grief and to learn how to deal with grief as I grieved many different diagnoses throughout my children. And it is so helpful. And thankfully, I think the stigma is lessening over getting help and support like that. But if you can find a coach, if you can find somebody who really knows how to help you and walk with you, do it. Don't do this alone.
Yes. And that's where the enemy wants you to be alone. Yes. He doesn't want you to seek help. He wants you to feel stuck, feeling like a failure, and speak those lies over you and feel even shame maybe for this diagnosis. And if you stay stuck in isolation, you're giving him that power and seeking support. And that's a scary thing to do. It is. It feels very vulnerable and it feels scary. Going through this journey, how would you say it affected your emotional state as a mom, everyday life? Because in my podcast, I talk a lot about emotional wellness and just how you feel emotionally as a mom throughout the day, mentally, emotionally, and even like losing your patience and feeling easily triggered and angered, going through all of this, because it's just another big thing in your life. You can't just ignore it and be like, okay, I'm not dealing. It's part of your days. How did it affect you emotionally these past, is it 19 years your oldest is?
Yes, 19 years. I would say it's taught me a lot about anxiety. It's taught me a lot about trusting the Lord beyond my understanding, you know, just letting him give me peace. I think it's changed me as a mom in that I've had to let go of a lot of perfectionism as well. And it's helped me to see a silver lining. We had hired a set of coaches years and years ago. And she said, you know, always look for the silver lining. What is the good in the middle of all of this? The beauty from the ashes. And I think in some ways that's really helped to shape me as a person in a positive way to go through these things. You know, as a special needs mom, there are times where you're just flat out depressed. You just feel like you need CPR of hope. You feel like you're completely alone because really a lot of the time your local community may not understand you. And if you are blessed to have a local community that does, cling to them. Support them, help build them up, bring others to them. It's really difficult to find an excellent special needs ministry in a church. But I think emotionally, it's going to be a unique journey for every person, but it's going to teach you a lot about yourself. It's going to dig out the worst parts of you, and it's going to bring out the best parts of you. And it's going to build you into a richer person than you could have ever imagined. And especially if you submit yourself to that painful surgery that God will do in our soul as we walk through challenges and grief and pain, he will allow it to become something beautiful. And your child, no matter what, is a huge, huge gift, a huge gift. I had someone challenge me. She said to me, I was really struggling. She said, how can you view your son as a child of joy? She came from another culture and didn't speak English very well. And the way I wish she could say it the way that I wish I could say it the way she said it, because it was so beautiful. but she's a very, very faithful believer. And I thought, you know, for a child who needs 24/7 care, can't talk, he's in diapers, he has life-threatening epilepsy, he's the sweetest person you'd ever know, but don't dare eat a bite of food in front of him or he will lose it and have an absolute tantrum, even if he's just finished eating and you will want to plug your ears and run away. He's so loud. Like, how can I look at this person as a child of joy? And yet I can. He has taught us so much. He's brought our family so close. We function as a team because of him. We have learned so much about compassion and about trusting and faith in the Lord. And he's just a sweet person. And so many special needs kids are. So, you know, if other mothers out there can say, how can I take this very emotional journey, this very difficult journey, this very painful journey, this sadness and grieving, and look and see, how is my child a child of joy? And just start focusing there, whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is right. You know, that verse that says, like, look, focus on these things, think on these things, make a list, post it on your door, do whatever you can to look for God's goodness in the middle of it, because it is there.
I love that. I love the encouragement that you just said for those moms that are going through that. And I, before we wrap up, I have two more questions for you. One of them is, what helped you get through the hard days? And maybe you already mentioned some of that through this episode, but what helped you get through the tough days when things felt so hard and so heavy? And maybe you're just like, I just wish this wasn't my life. I just want to give up.
Well, can I read a very short, quick poem that really inspired me and inspires many special needs parents really fast? Because this is a piece besides faith that I already mentioned. This is a poem by Emily Pearl Kingsley, if you want to look it up. She says, I'm often asked to describe the experience of raising a child with a disability, to try to help people who have not shared that unique experience to understand it, to imagine how it would feel. It's like this. When you're going to have a baby, it's like planning a fabulous vacation trip to Italy. You buy a bunch of guidebooks and make your wonderful plans, the Colosseum, the Michelangelo, David, the gondolas in Venice. You may learn some handy phrases in Italian. It's all very exciting. After months of eager anticipation, the day finally arrives. You pack your bags and off you go. Several hours later, the plane lands. The stewardess comes in and says, "Welcome to Holland." "Holland," you say. "What do you mean, Holland? I signed up for Italy. I'm supposed to be in Italy. All my life, I've dreamed of going to Italy. But there's been a change in the flight plan. They've landed in Holland, and there you must stay. The important thing is that they haven't taken you to some horrible, disgusting, filthy place full of pestilence, famine, and disease. It's just a different place. So you must go out and buy a new guidebook, and you must learn a whole new language, and you will meet a whole new group of people you've never met. It's just a different place, a slower paced than Italy, less flashy than Italy place. But after you've been there a while and you catch your breath, you look around and you begin to notice that Holland has windmills. Holland has tulips. Holland even has Rembrandts. But everyone you know is busy coming and going from Italy, and they're all bragging about what a wonderful time they had there. And for the rest of your life, you will say, yes, that's where I was supposed to go. That's what I had planned. The pain of that will never, ever go away, because the loss of that dream is a very significant loss. But if you spend your life mourning the fact that you didn't get to Italy, you may never be free to enjoy the very special, the very lovely things about Holland.
Oh, that makes me want to cry.
Yeah, it's a very impactful and very true poem. She puts it better than anyone I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've landed in Holland. And we can look for what's beautiful there.
Oh, that is so sweet. And I'm glad somebody made that poem.
Me too.
As an encouragement for parents that are struggling on this journey. This was so amazing. This was so great. This was a really deep conversation. It went deep really fast. And I'm thankful that you were able to come on and speak to the mama who is dealing with this, because there are moms that need this support and need this help. What is one thing that you want this mama that's listening to walk away with today?
I think just to know, gosh, you're not alone. You don't have to be alone. Even if you feel alone, the Lord is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And you don't have to be alone in human terms either. There are people out there that, you know, we want to help. We are outstretching our arms to bring you in and to love you and let you feel loved and love us back. You know, there are communities set up just for that. And so connect, make sure you connect and don't do this journey alone because it can be really fun. Oh, let me tell you, last night I got together with the ladies in my membership. I have a very small membership of Christian homeschooling moms and we had an impromptu cups and conversation meeting. We were laughing so hard, we were crying. And it was about these wacky stories of these ridiculous things that happen in our special needs homes with our kids. And you know, nobody else would get it. Nobody else could laugh like that, but we literally had tears streaming down our face. It was so refreshing and so healing. And so that is out there for you. So just find it and go take it. Go be part of it.
Yes. And if you are a mom and you're listening to this and you have a child with special needs, Katie has a community for you. She has a membership for you that you can learn more about that. And we'll put it in the show notes. Is there any action step that you want them to take at the end here? Like, where do you want them to connect with you?
Sure. Yeah. Actually, to be honest, I love sending people to my Linktree. It's so simple. So Linktree/family success is where I like to, I have coupons and goodies and freebies to download. And you can find my podcast there. And I know it's not like a formal website, but it's a great place to go. Otherwise, you can go to my not quite fully set up yet, herhomeandheart.com website, but I really recommend the Linktree.
Yeah, I will put that in the show notes. And thank you so much for being here and just speaking encouragement and life over that mama who maybe recently got a diagnosis with, you know, a child with special needs and is just grieving and having a hard time. So thank you for speaking to her and I appreciate you being here today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Katie is amazing, isn't she? She offers so much wisdom and just support and encouragement for you if you have a child with special needs. Here are the takeaways of this episode. Number one, surrounding yourself with community of alike families will be game-changing in how you feel emotionally and mentally. Number two, grieving is a process that cannot be rushed and it takes time. It's normal to grieve, move on, and then come back to the grieving again. Number three, children who have siblings with disability are extremely compassionate to others with disability. That is such a blessing to others. Number four, shift your perspective. Look for the good. A good question that Katie suggested to ask yourself is, how can I view this child as a piece of joy? If you found this episode helpful, I would encourage you to go in the show notes and check out Katie's podcast and her membership. Or if you know someone who has a child with special needs, I would also encourage you to share this podcast episode. Just text it to them and say, hey, I listened to this episode and I thought of you and I think it might be helpful for you. Since we just had a conversation about difficult challenges and difficult things that we are dealing with in life, I wanted you to check out a book that my friend Kim wrote. It is called Nothing Wasted. So difficult seasons catch us off guard and make us feel like life might never be balanced again. In our worst days, it's hard to hold on to the truth that God will lead and guide us through the mess. Even on our good days, when we feel like we've done all the right things, we can find ourselves asking questions like, why am I working this job? Am I making a difference? How do I know the right way to go? Why can't I just be content where I'm at in life? In this book, Nothing Wasted, we can see how answers come in time. Like fog dissipating, we recognize how God is gently leading and guiding us through each season of our lives. Our faith is not unseen. Our moments are not wasted. All the pain that comes with breaking us open leads to a full, rich life, growing in relationship with God and others. And I think this will be such a great book for you to listen or read and along with this episode. If you are going through a hard season in life right now and you're not sure why God is leading you through this and it seems like there's no good reason for it, I want to encourage you to read this book. I have found it so encouraging and life-giving. My friend, until next time.
Hi, friend. Did you learn something new or found value in this episode? If so, would you stop right now and share this episode with one Christian mama friend who has young kiddos and could benefit from this message? Word of mouth is the best way to spread the word and grow this podcast. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, would you please rate and review on Apple Podcasts so I know that this content is helpful and I can continue to create more episodes. This is really the only way for me to know that you are blessed by this podcast. I'll see you soon, my friend. God bless you.